Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the DiaSorin first half 2010 results presentation conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Carlo Rosa, CEO of DiaSorin. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you, operator. Good morning or good afternoon. Welcome to the quarter two conference call for DiaSorin. As usual, I will make some overall comment on the main elements of the second quarter results, and then Mr. Andrea Rinaldi, the Chief Financial Officer of the group, will discuss in detail the financial results. Let me start first from revenues, and I think it is noteworthy that for the first time, DiaSorin has exceeded 100 million euros in the quarter, and this is an achievement that we are very proud of. In fact, year-on-year growth in the second quarter is 26.5%, and the growth is healthy and spread over in all geographies. In Europe, we enjoyed a double-digit growth, as you have seen, 11.5%, when most of our competitors have reported disappointing results. This again shows that our ability to compete with far greater competitors is there, and DiaSorin as a platform and the DiaSorin menu is a very attractive platform for our customers. In the U.S., we continue to pursue our strategy to expand the DiaSorin base, using vitamin D as a hook and completing the product offering with our infectious disease products. The demand for vitamin D continues to grow and fueled by all the clinical data that are now becoming public around the clinical use of vitamin D testing. Finally, in the emerging geographies, Asia Pacific and South America, we continue to enjoy a very strong growth with continued enlargement of the DiaSorin install base. As you've seen, in both areas, we are growing 30%-40%, and this is very relevant for us, also in light of the fact that we are transitioning the Nurix business from Abbott to us. And so not only the current business is very healthy, but we are ready to, with a success story, to take also over the responsibility for the ELISA products we bought from Abbott with Nurix. As far as the install base, we placed in the quarter 163 DiaSorin, which clearly is for us a record quarter. And what I think is relevant to understand is that installations have been evenly spread around all geographies. U.S. roughly represents 25% of the new install base. Europe represents roughly 30%, and then the remaining 40% is split almost evenly between Asia Pacific and Brazil. So if some of you are concerned about an overwhelming effect of vitamin D, I'm telling you, the install base today goes evenly in regions following, in on all the regions following, the different strategies that the company has set in place in this very different market. Now, moving to research and development, I'm pleased to announce that we have received CE marking for the HIV-XL product. If you remember, we had submitted three products: HIV, HCV, and hepatitis B. HIV is the first one to be approved, and we expect C and HBV to be approved by late September, early October, in time for the soft launch of the DiaSorin XL. The DiaSorin XL project continues in its development. The first two units have been installed in Italy to conduct usability testing at two customer sites in the north of Italy. We expect to start the soft launch activities for Excel in early quarter four. Finally, as far as the Jason Excel is concerned, we are starting clinical studies in the U.S. To file for the 510K of the system, and we expect filing with the FDA to be completed by December of 2010, in line with our expectation to start active commercialization of the Jason Excel in the U.S. In the late quarter to early quarter three next year. The last comment I would like to make is related to the strategic alliance that we have announced with Meridian Diagnostics. Meridian Diagnostics, as some of you may know, is a worldwide leader in GI tract infection. They enjoy a leadership position in areas like Clostridium difficile and Helicobacter pylori. They offer under a point-of-care technology or an ELISA technology. The two companies have agreed to allow DiaSorin to use certain Meridian technologies and know-how to develop five flagship Meridian products on the Liaison platform. These would be specialty products. They will clearly differentiate our product offering from competition. So we continue to follow our strategy of differentiation vis-a-vis the Liaison menu. We expect that the viable market for these five assays is in excess of $100 million, and there is a very limited competition in that space. Moreover, 50% of the current Liaison install base has been determined to be at customer sites that are performing these Meridian assays in their premises, and therefore we expect that the adoption rate will be very high. If you remember, we started development and we expect that these products would be available to the market at the beginning of 2012. As far as Nurex is concerned, the activities of transferring the business from Abbott to the DiaSorin are continuing. We took direct responsibility over the sales of the products in certain geographies, whereas in Asia Pacific and South America, where the bulk of the sales are, we are working to transition the business to us, and we expect that the full transition should happen by year-end. I'm going to then now leave Andrea for the comment on the financial results, and then we will open the Q&A session.
Thank you, Carlo. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning or good afternoon. I'm going to use slide presentation to take you through the key performance indicators of the quarter two and first half of 2010 for that story. Now, let me start with a remark concerning the closing of the Nurex operation. As you know, we closed the deal, announced closing of the deal on June 1st. So given the short period of inclusion within the consolidation area of the DiaSorin, we had not fully consolidated the operation. We consolidate within our financials the opening asset value of the deal and a very marginal part of the sales. Full consolidation of the Nurex business will happen as of next quarter, so quarter three. Now, if I may use slide number one, Carlo has already commented on the revenue growth. I would like to point your attention to three more highlights of the financial results. First of all, as of June 30th, the install base, so the driver of the growth of the top line for our group, the install base of Liaison systems has reached 3,290 instruments, having installed, as you may remember, 153 in quarter one and 162 in the second quarter of the year. The last one clearly represents a record number of placements. alongside the growth of the top line, we continuously report significant improvement at operating margins, both at gross margins and EBIT margins. And later on, I will comment in more detail on this. And last but not least, we are reporting an improvement or a growth of the net earnings compared to 2009. What I will anticipate, and then again we will go into detail, is that you may remember that 2009 net earnings were positively affected by one-off fiscal benefits related to the goodwill step-up, and therefore represent for us a very difficult comparable. But I will go into more details. If you turn, please, to the second slide. That is a representation of the profile of our revenues on a quarterly basis. You can already see that in quarter two, we overachieved the 100 million euros consolidated turnover in the quarter. So the turnover is around 100.5, which represents a significant improvement also vis-à-vis the previous quarter of 2010. If we move to the full representation of the profit and loss statement, Carlo already mentioned the net revenues grew 26.5% versus previous year. In the quarter, we enjoyed a positive exchange rate effect with reference particularly to, needless to say, the US dollar, but also the Brazilian reais. At constant exchange rate, the growth of the top line is around 21.5 percentage points. As far as gross profit is concerned, the growth, the more than proportional growth is reflected in the higher incidence in the gross margin versus the turnover. Gross margin has improved by almost 1.5 percentage points versus previous year, going from 70.8 to 72.2. Operational expenses grow from 26.7 to 31.4. There is a strong leverage on the structural cost of the group to the point that the incidence over revenues of operational expenses decreases by more than 2 percentage points from 33.5 to 31.2. There is a hefty charge on other operating expenses in the quarter, 3.8 million, the majority of which is represented by a non-recoverable withholding tax paid on dividends within the group, dividends that the holding company has attracted from the U.S. Subsidiary. Those dividends were used to finance the Murex acquisition. On top of this, you have to bear in mind that more than 500,000 euros was related to costs associated with the legal assistance to the nearest acquisition happening in the second quarter of this year. All in all, the EBIT is 37.4, growing 26.7% versus previous year second quarter, with a margin which is in line with what we reported last year. Again, I will talk later on the one-off effect falling in the quarter on our profitability margin. Below EBIT, net financial expenses are positive for $500,000 or just about $500,000, whereas tax is levied at $14.6 million. As I said before, the comparison between this quarter and the 2009 second quarter is a challenging one. In 2009, as you can see, the tax rate was significantly lower because we used the provision of the law to step up and transfer into deductibility the goodwill that we carry on the balance sheet with a net positive tax effect of $3.5 million. As you can see in the line just below the net result, if you discount the one-off effects which are coming from the fiscal effect that I just mentioned and the fact that we changed the accounting principles related to hedging of our exposure to the U.S. dollar, which are now not recorded any longer to P&L but directly to a network, And the true comparison between the two quarters net results would have been would have given us an increase of 23% year on year. Moving to the first half year profit and loss statement, again, 24% growth on the top line as reported, 22.3% at constant exchange rates. And in a similar fashion to the quarter, the gross profit and the gross margin are increasing significantly. The incidence of gross margin is going up by 150 basis points versus previous year, which leads to a gross profit growth of 26, almost 27% versus previous year. Again, operational expenses grow far less than proportional to the top line, with an improvement in the incidence of the ratio on sales by more than 2%, by more than 2 percentage points. And again, you see reflected in the in the first 6 months, the other operational expenses mentioned vis-a-vis the quarter, on top of you have to add an additional 1 million euros of non-recurring item related to the due diligence and legal assistance performed during quarter one of this year related to the merits acquisition. All in all, as a result of this, the EBIT in the first 6 months is growing by almost 28% versus previous year, from just shy of 54 million to just shy of 69 million in 2010, moving up from 35.7% to 36.8% of revenues. The same consideration I mentioned before are valid for the first 6 months related to net financial expenses and tax. All in all, the net result as reported is growing almost 16% from 37 to 33. A fairer comparison would see a growth of close to 27% from a 34 million, which is the net profit of last year, which excludes the one-off effect with tax and financial accounting, to 43 million. EBITDA is growing more than 26% in the first 6 months, from 62 to almost 78.5 million, moving up from 41.2% of revenues to 41.9%. Now, if we move on slide number 6 to a more detailed analysis of revenue breakdown, semi-luminescence, so the liaison technology platform, continues to represent the growth driver for the group. PSAs in the first 6 months grew by 37% versus the first half of 2009. The drivers of this growth continue to be clearly what we had experienced in the previous 4 quarters as well. Vitamin D continues to grow as the market and reflected in our sales at a rate which is significantly higher than the average of the other clinical areas of this product. As we said before, we continue to enlarge the installed base to a more than proportional rate than we did in the previous past. And also, we announced in quarter one as well, we continue to leverage on new distribution agreements in strategic areas of the world like Latin America. As a consequence of the growth of semi-luminescence, the incidence of that technology on the overall product portfolio moved up from 62% in 2009 to more than 68% in 2010. Shifting our view to geographies, as I already mentioned, all the regions recorded a double-digit growth. Europe recorded in the quarter a growth by 11% and more than 10% in the first 6 months. The double-digit growth clearly is diluted by the Italian market, where the penetration that we have achieved with more than 750 liaisons installed in Italian territory does not allow for double-digit growth, although the growth recorded in this market is significantly higher than the average growth of the IVD market. France, we mentioned two examples of very good performance within the European region. France is growing 30.2% versus previous year, and Israel is growing at almost the same level, 26.7%. North America, strong revenue as reported and at comparable exchange rate of 43.5% as reported and 35.2% in local currency. This is clearly first 6 months, 2010 versus 2009. Latin America, the hefty growth, which is about more than 50% in quarter two and more than 35% in the first half year, is sustained by very assuring growth on the Mexican company as well as the enlargement of the third-party distributors network I just mentioned before. And Asia-Pacific has recorded 28.4% growth versus previous year, with a strong contribution from China, where I remind you we opened a subsidiary for that distribution as of the beginning of this year, and Australia, where we have incorporated our own subsidiary as of April this year, and that subsidiary has started that distribution as of August the 2nd. If we can now move to commenting deeper the margin or the profitability indicator of the group on slide number 9, you can find summarized the gross margin, EBITDA, and EBIT growth versus previous year, all in the range of 27%, with incidence which is moving up year on year. Now, the improvement of the margins, as you know, is driven by structural factors, aside from the improvement in the exchange rate, the euro versus the dollar. The improved technology mix, so the ever higher incidence of chemiluminescence versus the rest of the portfolio is clearly driving our margin up. Vitamin D is adding as a specialty test, adding more and more weight of specialties onto the overall liaison portfolio. And we continue to leverage on the fixed costs represented by the depreciation of the installed base and the instrument depreciation. I mentioned before that within the first 6 months we have incurred results which have been affected by what we consider non-recurring events, particularly the revenue stream, which has been used to finance the Nurex the dividend stream, which has been used to finance the Nurex acquisition, as well the legal and tax counter charges related to the same operation, which should be deducted when analyzing the true operational performance of the company. If we do this, the operating margins, EBITDA and EBIT, would go at 43.6% of turnover in the first 6 months, 44.2% in quarter two, and as far as EBIT is concerned, 38.5% of total sales and 39.4% in the quarter. The net results I mentioned already represent, as reported, a growth year-on-year of 16%, but excluding hedge accounting and fiscal effects in 2009, it would have represented a growth year-on-year of 26.6%. If I now move to the balance sheet, on the 30th of June, we have closed with a total capital employed of 276 million euros, moving up from 206 at the end of 2009. The significant growth of our net capital employed is related to the incorporation of the initial asset balances of the acquired Nurex business, which have been reported both as part of tangible assets and intangible assets. For the time being, we have allocated to goodwill all the part related to intangible assets. We will take the next few months before quarter three results to allocate and to have the intangible emerge within the goodwill. Mm-hmm. Apart from this, net working capital has also increased, particularly as far as inventory is concerned because of the consolidation of the new asset values. Against the 276 net capital employed, we have 264 shareholders' equity, and the net financial position, which has become, again, negative for 12.3 million. Let me remind you that this position has been achieved after having paid about $50 million on the Mirax acquisition and 11 million euros on dividends. The operational cash flow performance, which is reported on page 11, has been 40.1 million in the first 6 months before capital expenditure of around 12.5 million euros, which compares with the 25.9 million in the first half year of last year, before a capex of almost 15. Negative financial position of 7.5 million, I already commented. At the end of the first 6 months, we were holding cash and cash equivalents in the range of 25 million euros. Last but not least, on slide 12, in view of the strong rate of the revenue growth, the favorable trend that we continue to see in the exchange rate, and clearly the continued success of vitamin D test, the management believes that we should raise upward the early expectation, which sets the target for revenue growth in the range of 15% to a growth in the range of 20%, confirming the fact that all profitability indicators will increase and improve more than proportionally. We also, on the basis of the first evidence, believe that the Mirax business will contribute for additional 15 to 20 million to the growth that I just mentioned. And on the basis of the number of placements that we record in the first 6 months of the year, we believe that this year the group will exceed 500 new placements in the field. That's all that I wanted to say on the conference call. I would like now to hand over to you for a Q&A session. Thank you very much.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you change your mind and wish to remove yourself from the question queue, then you may press star and two. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. That is star and one. First question is from Martin Wales of UBS. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Can I start simply by getting a little bit more color on your guidance? If Murex is going to add 15 and 20 million to the top line, what do you think it will add to the bottom line this year? And maybe you can talk about what it could do for you on a full year basis. I know you've only had the business for a couple of months now, but some initial thoughts there would be helpful.
Martin, do you have any other questions?
I do have other questions, but do you want me to reel them out now? Or you have to?
Yeah, if you can just go through it, through all of them, and then we take notes and give you the answers.
Okay. Second question, if you're going to place more than 500 machines this year, I know you have a slower Q3, but it does imply obviously 185 machines in the second half of the year. I'm just wondering if that's still a little bit cautious, or are you just going to tell me you said more than 500? Thirdly, on the vitamin D side, two questions. Firstly, I understand that Roche is in the process of withdrawing its vitamin D3 asset in Australia. What impact could that possibly have on your business if that is indeed the case, which I believe it is? If you could address that. And finally, could you talk more generally about vitamin D competition post-AACC, what you learned there and how you see that business developing?
Okay, listen, I'll take the last two questions, and Andrea will give a comment on the Murex. First, in fact, as you pointed out, Roche has started to send out some official notes to customers in certain geographies indicating that they are withdrawing their vitamin D product from the market. We have seen that already clearly announced in Asia Pacific, mainly Australia, that is actually the largest market in Asia Pacific, where we are in the process already to convert some of the Roche customers to the Neozone platform. There has not been any official note that has been delivered by Roche in Europe, but we expect that sooner than later this should happen. And I think that the Yasorin is very well positioned in case that happens to capture a good portion of those of that Roche market. And this is what these are the only facts I can relate to as far as the Roche issue. If I just make a comment on this, a general comment, as I stated before, vitamin D is, for many different reasons, a very difficult product to make. And if you remember, I always stated that I could not believe that if Yasorin was able to make vitamin D in Stillwater, Minnesota, nobody else would have been able to make it somewhere else. However, this confirms again that because of the nature of the product, it's a difficult product, and the barrier of entry from a technological point of view to have a good product is very high. Now, this leads me to your second question. As you know, last week there has been an AACC in the U.S., and that usually is a podium where lots of companies display what they have. As far as vitamin D is concerned, we have seen some news provided by Siemens, where they displayed research and development poster showing some data on their ISA, but it is very difficult to judge where they are at and how good the test is because it was a very limited evaluation and you cannot tell how far they are from a product. So if you want my gut feeling, I don't think that Siemens is close to a commercial launch of a product. There have been some indication that Abbott is working on this. However, we have not seen data provided by Abbott, nor we have any indication official that the product has been filed. So I would say that the level of rumor around vitamin D went up, and that is expected, as said, because of the size and visibility of this market. But it is difficult for us today to, in a factual way, foresee whether competition is truly available or not. As far as my last comment, as far as IDF is concerned, as I already said a few times, IDF is a good company with a good small system. However, I don't consider IDF as one of the primary competitors of Yasorin because of lack of infrastructure and because of the fact that their system is designed to address markets which are different from what we address within the zone. Now, Andrea, do you want to take the...
Martin, as far as the Murex business, I think we are today again in a position to confirm what is the guidance that we provided before. So in terms of margin, we do believe that the Murex business, first of all, we know the Murex business is a profitable business, and we confirm the fact that that will provide an EBITDA of at least 15% of the turnover. I think you also had a comment about the number of placements in the second half of the year.
Yeah.
Now, clearly, the guidance that we provide of more than 500 units and reflects the thought that in the third and the fourth quarter we will be able to place at least 100 instruments per quarter, which is what the company is prepared to commit right now.
And it does exclude any business that may come through the issue that Roche is having with vitamin D, and that clearly would then require a placement of dedicated vitamin D platforms, as we have already done in Australia.
Okay, so your guidance excludes any impact of this apparent Roche withdrawal?
No, it does not.
Okay. Just to come back to the vitamin D test, obviously one differentiator ultimately will be just how variable the test is. What's your take on this sort of research posted for Siemens in regards to coefficient of variation, and where are you on your own test now? Obviously, I guess mass spec has the lowest coefficient of variation, but obviously you require some expert operator.
And again, very difficult to say. That poster presented by Siemens is an R&D poster, and I can honestly tell it by experience, also looking at the diasorin optimism of the R&D group. You never know whether an R&D poster eventually translates into a final product specification, so we need to wait and see what the product will be. Remember that the Roche product was supposed to be a very strong product, and look where it ended up going. Now, regarding mass spec, I keep saying that the issue with mass spec has nothing to do with performance. Mass spec is a good analytical technology. The issue with mass spec is related to the complexity of technology per se, which requires dedicated resources and know-how, and it has to do with standardization, because it's being extraction, having an extraction step first and then a detection system, standardization of the two steps versus a system liaison where everything is included in one device, it is much more complex.
Okay, I'll go back in the queue now and let other people ask questions. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Massimo Vecchio of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon to everybody. Just a quick question on the tax rate. What kind of level can we expect for the full year 2010? Thanks.
As you may have seen, the tax rate in the second quarter has gone slightly up, around 38%. I believe that, as you know, our tax rate today is heavily influenced by the performance of the U.S. company and the tax rate existing in the U.S. I believe that we will continue to see a tax rate around 37% on average for the remainder of the year.
Okay, thank you very much.
Next question is from Elsa Rocha of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, hello. Good afternoon, gentlemen, and thank you for taking my questions. 2 points. First, could you elaborate a bit on the weakness you've seen in the Italian market when we talk about revenue growth in Europe? And my second question is about the recent talks about a change in the FDA's 510K approval process, if you believe that's going to have any impact on the launch of the Liaisonic cell, for instance, or any other tests. Thank you.
Okay. Let me first start with the FDA with a very short answer. There has been an indication by the FDA that revising the 510K and PMA. The problem is that final guideline has not been made available, so it's very difficult for us to make a comment on where this will go. We checked yesterday on the website, and the official guideline has not been released yet, so I think we need to hold our thoughts until we will see what it is. To be honest with you, I would be very surprised if that would change significantly the FDA policy vis-a-vis fighting K. But again, jury's out and we will see what happens. As far as, if I understand correctly, your question is was related to Italy?
Yes.
And why the Italian growth is not in line with the rest of the country. Is this the question?
Correct.
Okay, it is very simple, and Andrea gave you gave you the answer before. We have a problem of saturation in Italy. We have a very large installed base of 700 liaisons. We have certain market share in product families, in infectious disease, and other product families, which are close to 25-30%. And we have pretty much blanketed the market as far as the kind of accounts that we can reach with a liaison. Now, with the liaison Excel, just one more comment. As far as vitamin D is concerned, the business is growing nicely in Italy. However, because of the size of the market today, it really does not have an impact on the overall revenues in the Italian market. However, we strongly believe that because of, again, our ability to penetrate that market, the liaison Excel will provide a very relevant opportunity for us to grow and address those markets like hepatitis and HIV testing, where today we don't participate because we don't have the product on the liaison, as well as those very large labs that are present in Italy and we cannot address with the liaison because of the size of the box. So today Italy is it doesn't grow as fast, but is a fantastic country, will be a fantastic country to take the liaison Excel and grow with the liaison Excel. So we have lots of expectations from the liaison Excel launch.
Thank you very much.
Next question is from Fabrizio Varini of Intermonte SIM. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Just a quick question. It's a clarification on your new guidance in terms of sales growth for 2010. I would like to understand if the new range of plus 20% includes more sale expectation and the Forex effect, or it excludes this contribution. Thank you.
No, it does not. 20% is at compare on a like-for-like basis. I think we said that the 15 to 20 million Murex contribution will be additional.
Thank you.
We've got a follow-up question from Martin Wales of UBS. Please go ahead.
Okay, thanks for that.
Go ahead, Martin.
I guess one thing Murex brings you is some presence in emerging markets. Let me talk more broadly about where you see your emerging markets business going in the next 2 to 3 years.
Sorry, you are breaking up. So the question is,
obviously brings you some emerging markets, more emerging market exposure to the exposure you already have. I'm just wondering where you see your business in emerging markets going in the next few years. The second question I would have, coming back to machine placings, would be, I know it's a bit early to be talking about 2011, but any sense of where you might be going in 2011 on the machine side?
Well, sorry to cut you short, but for 2011, I don't think I'm prepared
to make
a comment. as far as the emerging markets, as you have seen, everybody, and I was looking at our competitor reports, everybody is enjoying growth in emerging markets, but if you see the level of growth that we get is far greater than everybody else is enjoying. And I believe that this is related to two different strategies. As far as China is concerned, as I told you, we are going to China, or we view China as, again, a country where we cannot be perceived as generalists, but as a specialist. And so we went for infectious disease. We are the only company, foreign company, with a full prenatal panel infectious disease approved by the FDA, which is the governmental authorities in China. We just concluded a tour in China where we organized very successful meetings with the other Chinese labs and doctors, and we had a French opinion leader giving a speech. And that is clearly positioning the company again as a specialty company, high-value company, and all these laboratories in China are hungry of technology and education. And this is what we are providing, and this is what is providing us with a very good end-user price, because we don't compete with the local mumbo-jumbo, and with a recognition in that market, which I think is a very good market, which I think is a very good investment going forward for our company. Last but not least, let's not forget that we have been in China since the beginning in a joint venture with the Chinese government, and that really is helping a lot in terms of establishing us as a friend like in a foe. As far as South America is concerned, we went through some turmoil in Brazil, as you have seen, because of the famous ELISA tender that we won and then was not renewed and then finally has been renewed. So you will see again revenues growing in the third and fourth quarter of this year. Moreover, we have hired a new person responsible for the region that is coming from one of the largest competitors, and we started again to focus on liaison, and the liaison placements are picking up in Brazil again. In both geographies, Asia-Pacific and China, then we are transitioning the Nurex business. I have to say that it has been a very impressive franchise and business that Nurex and Abbott were able to set up. The collaboration with Abbott in transitioning and working with the customer is fantastic. And there are some of these countries where we may even be interested to evaluate whether we could team up with Abbott in continuing the product offering of our ELISA platform, the Nurex platform, in some of their products, because it has been a very successful strategy under the Abbott belt, and I think it should continue also under our watch. So overall, as a general comment, I'm extremely pleased by those emerging markets, and I bank on the fact that they will continue to expand and grow as you have seen for the foreseeable future.
Next question is from Paolo Mottarotti of Teorema. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. A couple of questions, actually. The first one is if you could provide an update on the Japanese market for vitamin D. And the second one is a clarification on the rollout of Liaison XL. You said that this will be helping labs with high throughput to adopt the machine, labs that previously were not interested in Liaison because of the low throughput. And I was wondering to what extent this could also be instrumental maybe to penetrate a little bit more the U.S. lab base and to help the substitution of ELISA technology with a CLIA technology for some of those labs. Thank you.
Okay. Let's talk about the rollout of the Excel. As I did comment many times, and as you can see again by the quarter, we have a golden goose, which is the Liaison, and we need to be very careful before we kill the golden goose. So we continue our rollout of the XL in terms of moving it slowly to initially our domestic market. As stated, we are running usability studies in two hospitals in Italy, and we are doing some pre-marketing activities, expecting what we call soft launch. That means approaching certain customers with the HIV, HCV, and HDV products in the fall in order to build credibility and not to disturb too much the Liaison product line going forward. And we expect, as stated before, that we will have a full commercial impact of the Liaison XL in 2011. As far as the U.S. is concerned, as I said before, we are going through the registration of the instrument that requires clinical studies that are set up to start end of September. We expect the Liaison XL clinicals to be completed by year-end and filed with the FDA, and usually approval of systems in the U.S. is a relatively short timeline. It should take, I believe, no more than 90 days to be able to roll out the XL in the U.S. Now, as again I said many times before, in the U.S. We have a very successful Liaison program as well. And one of the thoughts we have would be to really limit the Liaison XL to a couple of very large accounts that today are running a high volume of vitamin D, where we would like to secure that business and facilitate customers in handling that throughput. But then just limit the XL to those accounts and continuing our strategy to place Liaisons, current Liaisons, in hospital settings, which is what we are doing, where the XL for the time being we don't believe is needed. As far as Japan is concerned and vitamin D, dealing with the Japanese authorities is a painful process and very slow. However, we have concluded our clinical studies and the results of the publication. The results of the clinical studies have been published in Japan. We expect that by quarter two, quarter three next year, we will get our vitamin D registered with specific claim on bones and bone-related diseases. In parallel, once the registration is obtained, we need to apply for reimbursement. And that process usually takes 6 months. And which means that we should be positioned by year-end next year to start the distribution in Japan of vitamin D. We have estimated that just with the bone claim, the Japanese market could be worth between 2 and 3 million tests per year. And so it's a very nice business opportunity, and you will be the only company approved in Japan with a vitamin D test. Okay, so this is the status today of our Japanese asset.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. Mr. Rosa, there are no more questions at this time.
Okay, operator, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining. The conference is now over, and you may disconnect your telephones. Thank you.